Leia slid into the upright gap between the number one hydroponics complex and her administration building. Here, the Duracrete walls were less than a half a meter apart, just close enough that a reasonably agile person could climb them chimney style. She holstered her blaster, then started up. Though the Duracrete was rough enough for hand and footholds, chimneying meant holding her wrists and ankles at angles that brought on a dull, throbbing ache. Using Jedi techniques to ignore that pain, she kept climbing. Finally, she stretched out prone on the roof and peered north toward the construction barns. She was barely aware of Olmark creeping forward to lie beside her, his lean gray face coming level with hers. "Keep your head down, Lady Vader." Then she saw one of her agricultural machines jerking forward, being dragged and shoved instead of running under its own power. Ahead of it, between the construction shed and garden plots, lay a deep new pit. Yuuzhan Vong swarmed its edges, deepening and enlarging it. West of the pit, hundreds of refugees sat close together. She clenched a fist. Where was Selkor now? Senator Shesh sat on Coruscant while Leia lay here, watching these aliens shatter Selkor's haven. Not alone, though. She heard more soft scuffling behind her, then Jaina crept up on her stomach.
"Remind you of anything?"
Jaina asked. Leia nodded.
"Ramamul and a pit full of droids. We've got to get those people out of there."
As Leia explained her sketchy plan, Jason scrambled up alongside his sister.
"All right," Leia said. "The admin building's main shaft goes straight down three levels below ground. The mining laser should be under guard on the second level."
"Should be," Jaina muttered. "What do you bet Nomanor sabotaged it?"
"Maybe not," Jason insisted. "Olmark and I will cover you."
Leia jumped from the hydroponics plant's rooftop to a window ledge on the admin building. From there, it was a quick scramble into a vacant office. Fortunately, the Yuuzhan Vong seemed to be congregating at the pit. The office was empty. One flight below ground, Leia paused with Olmark and waited for her twins to catch up. "Laser," she murmured, pointing toward a side chamber. Two blurred smudges marked the dust beside it. Between those smudges, not quite so close to the laser, a broad swath had been swept in the dust as if a large corpse had been dragged away.
"Rhonda?"
she wondered. "Where was Bazbakan?"
"First, I'm going to show you the way out," Leia whispered.
Holding her blaster at the ready, Leia silently pushed the next door, a storeroom. She stepped through toward a hatch that looked like one more permastone panel. She tugged it slightly open and jerked her head aside.
"Tunnel, to the mines," she murmured.
Olmark lingered at the storeroom door. As Leia opened it again, she heard harsh voices from the main level and heavy footsteps going up the steps. She held still and waited. In a minute or so, the voices stopped. She glanced aside at her daughter wearing her vision mask, then at her son with his cap pulled down snugly. She pushed the door the rest of the way open. No one challenged her. She headed toward the laser. She'd almost reached it when a harsh shout spun her around. A Yuuzhan Vong warrior in black armor stood on the stairs, sweeping something off a bandolier.
"Go!" she shouted. "Back!"
She fired off a shot, but her blaster bolt only glanced off his armor. A gray streak vaulted past her. Olmark plunged toward the Yuuzhan Vong's throat. A second alien vaulted over the balcony, hit the ground running, and came at her. Leia fell against the Duracrete door, slamming it shut with her children on the other side. She didn't stop firing until the alien's hands closed on her shoulders, wrenched her away from the door, and then drove her against it. She crumpled into darkness. Jason pounded down the laser-straight tunnel, chasing Jaina. She ran as if she had an assassin droid at her heels. Jason grabbed her hand.
"We've got to go back," he said.
This made no sense, but at the back of his mind, something huge and white was spinning.
"What? Hello? Duro to Jason. She sent us away. She's getting real good at that."
"This doesn't feel right," he repeated.
"Go ahead. Get to the freighter. Warn Dad what's going on. Call Luke and Mara. Tell them I'm going back."
In the distance, there was a throbbing head. Leia didn't want to get anywhere near it, but something kept pushing her closer until finally she went inside. Then she realized she was lying on her back, eyes tightly closed.
"Get up, Administrator Organa Solo."
The voice seemed to echo, and she recognized it.
Get up, show the courage that proves you worthy.
Then she knew the voice. She'd heard it over her comlink, but never in person. She opened her eyes. A Yuuzhan Vong stood between her and the nearest gray wall. He was smaller than many, with most of his head covered by tattoos, and he held her lightsaber in one hand. Dr. Kriar, I presume, she said. Or should I say, Nom Anor? His lips stretched in a parody of a smile. She sat up and rested her back against a rough wall.
So you solved our problems, she said, using Yuuzhan Vong biotechnology.
In part. I have dabbled in the kind of alchemy that can change your more useless microbes into powerful tools.
You made Mara sick, but here you were only stalling, distracting us.
You learn wisdom.
I suppose, Leia said, also stalling, in the hope that her children would be far away before the aliens realized she hadn't come alone. Alone? What about Almok? For her to be here, they must have killed him. Chewie, Elagos, and now Almok. Again, they made this war personal.
I suppose, she went on, you actually have everything you'll need to clean up Duro yourselves.
That is nothing to you. If the War Master chooses to do so, he will.
War Master? Who is that?
The alien's lips drew back, exposing his teeth.
Get up, he said, and I'll show you.
Her legs moved stiffly. Nomanor and his muscular cronies walked her up the stairs into her own office quarters. The alien who waited between her equipment lockers and her desk was a half a head taller than even his tallest guard. Large, rust-colored armor scales covered his body from neck to knees. His lips had multiple slits. His elongated head was tattooed. Leia planted her feet a shoulder's width apart and prayed that the Force would show her what to do. She needed to stall him long enough for Luke and Mara to get back with reinforcements, long enough for the refugees to escape.
War Master, she said, we are both leaders. Our people respect us, and we have many things to say to each other. My name is Leia Organa Solo.
I know who and what you are. I have vowed to my gods to sacrifice you and your kind. You will merely be the first, and surely one of the most famous Jedi I give them.
Leia's stomach churned.
I am not Jedi, not really.
Our reports say otherwise.
Your reports are wrong.
I have a little training, but that's all. In this galaxy, we have learned to live alongside each other. Surely you...
We do not live side by side with impurity, he said. Your galaxy is polluted. We have come to cleanse it. Death, Leia Organa Solo, is the highest truth of the universe.
No, she said. Life is the highest truth.
Death ends life.
There can be no death where there has been no life. Life binds the galaxy together. Life...
Silence, blasphemer!
The force of his shout drove her back half a step.
What is it you want here at Duro? She asked.
You, he said, who mock death, will meet it very soon. Then... For Yunyamka, the true master of war, we will purify this world of the abominable machines in their orbits.
The Duro cities, she realized with a sinking sensation. Millions of lives.
We will preserve the people you call refugees, though. Their labor is needed for the task of cleansing this world.
He nodded at Nomanor.
Finally, Duro will become our platform to take other worlds, the ones you call the Core.
Leia felt lightheaded. They meant to take everything, and she no longer doubted that they could.
Sir, even the gods can't want you to remove all other life from the...
You do not speak for the gods. But soon you will speak to them. Tell my master, Yunyamka, that more of your kind, more Jedi, our most powerful enemies in this galaxy, will crawl into his presence. Give him that message when you meet him, Ambassador.
One of Leia's captors stalked closer, brandishing a creature with a tiny body and long outward curving claws.
The creature took her wrist between one pair of claws, then grabbed her other arm, holding her as effectively as a pair of stun cuffs. Her guards took her to a storeroom in a nearby office, removed the creature that held her hands, and shoved her into darkness, locking the door behind them. She let herself stand motionless, unthinking, for one moment. Then something moved in the shadows to her left, something huge. She shrank away.
"It's only myself,"
a blubbering voice rumbled.
"Your fellow prisoner."
"Rhonda?" she demanded. "I suppose you went to them offering to ship prisoners, and they threw you back."
"No, no, I swear by my Kajidic. I tried to reach your mining laser. I meant to sacrifice myself and kill as many of these despicable creatures as I could."
"Oh, certainly," Leia said sarcastically. She'd known too many huts to believe this.
"But it's true," he moaned. "I deserve nothing better. My repentance is sincere. My mortification utter and complete. I..."
"What were you doing with that villip? Answer me that." He gave a low moan. Then he mumbled,
"I tried to bargain. I tried to get them to promise my people a safe world. Would you not try to do the same?"
"In exchange for what?" she asked curtly. He licked his lips with his fat, pointed tongue.
"They want Jedi. They know nothing about the Force. They want to find out what makes you powerful."
"So you tried to sell me to them?"
"No," he said. "Not you. Jason."
"Her son? This hut had offered her son to the enemy?" She leaned back against the stone wall. Her left shoulder hit a power cable conduit, and she shifted to get comfortable. She shut her eyes and reached out for her children. She sensed Jaina's subtle resonance at some distance. Jason might be farther away or damped down. In the mines, she wondered, or still in her secret tunnel. She scratched her shoulder absently against the power conduit, then spun around, grasping it in one hand. It ran from the closet's floor to its ceiling. She thought back, imagining the admin building in her mind, which rooms lay above her, which ones below. This conduit ran through the storeroom that opened into her tunnel. She bent down and swept the floor with both hands.
"Is there some way I might help?"
Rhonda asked. "I want a pebble," she snapped.
"Here, Administrator."
Something fell into her lap. "Thanks," she murmured. She tapped out a distress signal in the old Moncal blink code. Naturally, no one answered. She had only one thing left to try, but she hesitated. If she called Jaina or Jason back, through the Force, they might endanger themselves. She sat down and relaxed deeply.
"Luke,"
she cried silently to her own twin.
"Luke, hear me."
She sensed no answer. In Jade Shadow's pilot's chair, Luke felt a tendril of energy brush against him. He caught the faint sense of Leia and danger and warning. He jumped off the chair and strode aft toward his X-Wing. Halfway to the hold, he halted. Save his sister, or stay on station for the sake of his wife and child? He tried to get some guidance from the Force. Surprisingly, his clearest impression was that this wasn't Leia's moment at all. Her destiny was established, but within the next hour, Jason must stand firm or fall utterly. Drawing down deep into the Force, Luke stretched out toward Jason, but couldn't find him. Jason remained closed off to him, walled inside his own barricades. Luke's shoulders slumped. Jaina responded instantly, though. He even felt the assurance that Jaina was already returning to try to help her mother. Maybe Jaina could get through to Jason. Luke reached for Leia. If she were deliberately opening herself to him, he might be able to catch some memory, some image that he might relay to Jaina. He had to save her and Jason. The image Luke got from Leia showed her tapping against a conduit with a pebble and a location. He sent that to Jaina. Jason pulled himself into the smallest possible shape and waited for heavy footsteps to pass by in the stairwell. 5 minutes ago, he and Jaina had separated. She waited in the secret tunnel, and he'd re-entered the admin building and found this empty cubicle. Something nibbled at the back of his mind. Once again, something enormous was trying to break through. Something out of the infinite. A warring urge tempted him to simply spring out of the cubicle and have done with all his struggles.
Wait!
The sensation came through plainly. Anguished, almost angry.
Wait for what?
He wanted to scream back. Again, he had the overwhelming sense that the force was about to shift. Something was ending. Something beginning.
But what do you want?
He begged. Again, he saw the galaxy sliding toward darkness. And this time, he realized that standing motionless at its center wouldn't change the balance. Wouldn't save anyone, including himself. Han leaned against a stone wall. Returning toward the underground gathering place from Gateway's last hidden hauler, he'd found Leia's Goku antenna. He promptly patched into his comlink. He got no answer from Leia or Jaina, but C-3PO picked up. No sign of them, 3PO. In his mind, he saw the protocol droid perched in the Falcon's offset cockpit, standing watch out on that bluff. Behind him, Han heard the soft shuffling echo of hundreds of feet, refugees making their way past him up the tunnel toward Droma.
Nothing, Captain. For the moment, it appears as if the enemy has deployed only the small task force.
Good enough, Goldenrod. Be ready to fire it up the second I get there.
He tried Leia once more, then flicked off the comlink and stuck it deep in a pocket. He didn't like her silence. A faint pinging that had gone on for several seconds finally caught Leia's attention. It seemed to be coming from the conduit. She pressed closer. In blink code, she heard letters formed by long and short groups of pings. Can you hear me? Then there was a pause. Leia pinged back. Who is this?
Jaina, the answer came. What floor are you on?
Exultant, Leia stretched out through the force. There, indeed, was her daughter. Laboriously, Leia spelled out the War Master's threefold threat as she formed explanatory images in her mind. The others must know about the incredible danger to the Duro cities, word for word, exactly as the War Master threatened. Also, the impending enslavement of refugees and the promised strike on the core. Warn Mara, she concluded, sliding back into signaling mode. Use Goku transmitter. Hurry, then come back. Rhonda prisoner also. Jaina pinged back. Get you first.
No, warn Mara first. Get Han, come back,
Leia answered.
Okay,
Jaina pinged back. Leia sank back down, dropped the pebble, and rested her elbows on her knees. Heavy footsteps approached. Leia backed away from the door. Rhonda moaned.
This is the end. As night follows morning, as decay follows death.
Shut up, she said firmly. A warrior in black armor appeared in the doorway and motioned them forward with his snake-headed amphistaff. Another guard emerged from behind the door holding the clawed, wrist-grabbing creature. Leia winced as the claws closed on her wrists. The guard turned next to Rhonda, brandishing a glob of yellow-green slime. He applied it to the hut's small hands, then pushed them against his globular sides. The guard then gave a guttural command and motioned them forward, directing them back to Leia's office, shoving and poking with his amphistaff. More guards followed them. The War Master stood in front of her window, looking out toward the research buildings. To one side stood Nomenor, wearing a tunic over black armor. On the War Master's other side, a smaller, wrinkle-faced Yuuzhan Vong wore floor-length black robes and a hood that clung to her back-swept skull. Flanking her, two lanky attendants held long-limbed crustaceans against their tattooed chests. A third attendant cradled an enormous, double-skinned drum against her tunic. As Leia stared at the drum, two protrusions near its top opened momentarily, revealing a pair of green eyes. Leia's guards stopped at the door. Ignoring Rhonda, she resolutely walked forward.
Good morning, she said.
The War Master turned slightly, showing half his disfigured face. Leia thought she saw a smile on the fringed lips.
Come here, he said.
She walked to the window. Between the research building and the construction barns, the new pit had been dug even deeper and was in flames. Inside lay a jumble of incinerated machinery and construction droids. Leia's priceless mining laser, already smashed beyond usefulness, lay on top of the pile.
"The gods give good portents today,"
the War Master said, nodding toward Vecta, the black-robed female.
"It is a good day to burn sacrifices."
A line of Yuuzhan Vong guards drove refugees toward the fire pit.
"No, you can't do this. This is wrong."
"This," he answered, "will happen on all worlds."
Leia stared as the first line of refugees tumbled over the brink, clawing at the dirt and each other. Grieving, she looked away. She didn't have to watch them die. She felt it through the force like blows hammering her gut. She backed away from the window. The War Master turned toward her.
"Now, Leia Organa Solo, you too will speak to the gods."
The black-robed priestess raised both arms, and her attendants swept out their red-limbed crustaceans. The creature's long legs, locked in an extended position, joined to the bodies by tendons that now stretched taut like translucent harp strings. The third attendant flicked her huge drum in a slow, inexorable beat. The other two raised clawless hands and plucked their creature's taut tendons. An eerie, atonal music filled the room. The priestess lowered her arms. Out of one sleeve slithered a black amphistaff. From the other sleeve, a furry, red, coiled creature rolled down her other arm. It tightened around her wrist.
"Stop! Think about this! If you kill me, I can't help you any longer!"
The War Master stood between her and the window, but there was just a chance she could get past him and jump and use the force to land softly and lead them away from whoever else had gotten into the building.
"It's a trap, Jaina!"
She flung that thought out into the force.
"Get away!"
The War Master stepped away from the window, and a massive tan object lashed at him. Rhonda's powerful tail, unrestrained by the guards or their creatures, whipped the amphistaffs out of two guards' hands, then lashed again toward the War Master.
"Run, Ambassador," he thundered. "I have my wish after all."
The gaunt priestess plucked the ropey red creature off her wrist and swung it over her head. Leia rushed Nomenor, scrabbling with her fingertips for her lightsaber, still tucked in his belt. She wouldn't get far without that. The priestess launched her rope. In flight, it stretched out to twice its former length. It struck the hut's neck and wrapped around like a whip. Rhonda lashed at the War Master's guards with his mighty tail. They ducked out of range. Leia drove Nomenor against a wall, wrestling to unhook a lightsaber with claw-contained hands. His nails raked her arms. She hit the activation stud, extending the ruby-red blade. It barely missed the Yuuzhan Vong's foot, burning a hole in the Duracrete flooring. Powerful hands wrenched her away, piercing her arms with knife-like claws. The War Master's guards dragged her off, a treacherous researcher. In the middle of her office floor, Rhonda lashed and quivered. The priestess's drum beat a crescendo. The garrote creature tightened again. Rhonda's huge eyes bulged. Leia struggled uselessly against her guards. The War Master stepped around Leia's massive desk, kicked the hut's motionless tail, then ordered his guards,
"Take it to the kitchens."
Four of them dragged the huge body away. Nom Anor fiddled with the hand grip of her deactivated lightsaber.
"We will study this abomination."
He thrust it back into his belt. The priestess raised her left arm again. Another red garrote creature rolled down to her wrist. Something else grabbed Leia from behind and flung her to the ground. Something heavy and sharp fell across her legs at the knees, blinding her with a double explosion of pain. She bit her tongue. They struck again and again. A scream echoed down the stairwell. Jason flung himself out of his compartment and saw that an alien warrior stood outside the office where that scream had come from. Jason leapt up the stairs toward the guard. A black amphistaff coiled around the guard's arm and narrowed its inner edge to a blade-like hardness. The Yuuzhan Vong swung his amphistaff down, aiming for Jason's neck. Jason leapt aside and felt fire on his scalp as the creature slashed past. Then he planted a kick, and the warrior lost his balance and flew over the banister. Ignoring his scalp wound, Jason dashed the rest of the way to the office and burst in. His mother lay sprawled on the floor. From her knees almost to her feet, her Selcor blue uniform was darkening rapidly with blood. She pushed up on her forearms, opened her eyes, then furrowed her forehead.
"Go!"
she groaned. "Get away!" To his horror, three slug-like creatures rolled back and forth alongside her legs, cleaning up the visible red flow. Beyond her stood the biggest Yuuzhan Vong he'd ever seen, and a small one all in black, three musicians covered with tattoos, and a mid-sized one, with his mother's lightsaber tucked into his belt, stood aside.
"You!"
the middle-sized Yuuzhan Vong exclaimed.
"The Craven One! I thought you remained on Baburu."
Jason gaped. The Yuuzhan Vong knew the Duros had detained him? Core Duro hadn't just sold out. It was collaborating. Holding his lightsaber at the ready, Jason could barely stand. He was so dizzy. The room spun and tilted around him.
"Craven still," the War Master exulted. "You stand there looking instead of trying to strike us down. Look then, look well."
The War Master reached toward the small black-robed individual and said something Jason didn't understand. Her eyebrows lowered fiercely. She uncoiled something red from her left wrist and gave it to the War Master. He dangled it between two claws.
"Ambassador Organa Solo, straighten your spine and compose your face. Meet destiny with courage, and so inspire this young coward."
The black-robed Vong stretched out her arms. A musician started their ugly, throbbing tune again. The room spun faster.
"Stand firm, Jason," he heard.
He could not fight this darkness, not without the light of the Force, and the darkness must be fought. Jason reached inward and outward for the devastating, ravishing energy that was too large to comprehend, too mighty to use without being changed forever. He balanced himself around his glimmering blade and charged. He slashed at the War Master's arm as it dangled the red garrote creature over Leia. The big Yuuzhan Vong drew back and dropped the creature. Writhing, it curled up on the rough floor. The War Master whipped out a short, snake-headed baton and held it against his forearm.
"Coward," the War Master growled. "Unworthy."
Jason sensed his mother's weakening presence. He buried his worry and focused through the Force. He swept in, centering his lightsaber, then slashing wide and down. The War Master deflected his cut with the baton, whipping it away from his body. Jason leapt back. At the corners of his vision, the priestess and her musicians edged toward the wall. The middle-sized Yuuzhan Vong had vanished, taking Leia's lightsaber.
"You are beneath me,"
the War Master said.
"You are not worthy to die at my hand."
"No,"
a voice whispered at the back of Jason's mind.
"Fall in and stand firm."
Staring the War Master fully in the face, Jason dived into the magnificent depth. The galaxy spun and tipped around him. Seemingly at the galaxy's very edge, the black-robed priestess raised her hands. Jason stepped over Leia and raised his own. Power flowed through him, around him, inside him. A chair slid past the War Master. The alien gave it only a glance, but it struck his door guard broadside, toppling him. From another corner, several massive equipment blockers rose into the air, hovered a moment, and then joined the spinning vortex with Jason and Leia at center. Finally, Leia's massive desk started to slide. It struck the befuddled War Master, knocking him toward the north window. Near the door, someone shouted, "Jason!" The War Master sprang toward him. Jason felt the Force bring the desk back around and heard a satisfying crunch of armored scales. The War Master tumbled out the window. The priestess and her harper lay twitching on the stone floor, plainly stunned. Jason scooped up the furry red garrote creature. Jaina sprang through the doorway, lightsaber drawn and ready. She blinked as objects fell helter-skelter. Jason arranged the red creature around Leia's legs just above her knees. It hung limp. Struck by inspiration, he whacked the priestess's abandoned drum. The red creature tightened like a tourniquet.
Wow!
Jaina muttered.
I take it you're back to using the Force.
Jason slid one arm around his mother's shoulders and slipped his other arm under her bloodied legs.
You've got to run interference, he told Jaina.
Jaina raised her lightsaber again.
Follow me.
She led to the stairway, paused only a moment, and then vaulted over the railing. Jason jumped next.
Hurry, he told himself. Hurry.
Again, he plunged deep into the Force. Han sank down on the Falcon's captain's chair.
Get up here, Goldenrod, he shouted. Move, move!
The droid sashayed into the cockpit.
But, sir...
Sit, Han ordered, or I'll replace you with a pair of clamps.
Why had he sent Droma off on the refugee ship? C-3PO was the worst possible co-pilot.
Sir, what do you want me to do?
C-3PO pleaded.
Cover the comm link.
Jaina had sent coordinates for the tunnel's nearest exit point. As soon as she signaled again, he'd have to move. This way! Jaina gripped her lightsaber in one hand. She led off the bottom flight of stairs, into the storeroom, and flung open the tunnel door. Jason followed. Leia's head slumped against his shoulder. She seemed unbelievably light. Ahead, Jaina's lightsaber gave off a soft, violet glimmer. Mara had taken Shadow on a long sweep out, watching for hostiles. She slapped her transmitter. Jade Shadow to Duro's Defense Force, she called. Big Coral at 45 Marco 6. Look out, Posey. A Yuuzhan Vong fighter carrier had appeared at roughly 45 degrees south, plainly targeting the Mon Cal cruiser. Waves of coral skippers flew off the big carrier's arms. Larger objects followed, maybe attack craft, maybe creatures, not that it mattered anymore. Mara swooped back toward Baburu, searching her tactical display for Luke's and Anakin's X-Wings. E-Wings and Dagger Ds poured back off Baburu and the other cities around Duro's inhabited ring. Shields went up on all the orbital cities except Or-Am. Several explosions had shaken it while Mara patrolled. Its lights had gone dark. It had drifted down almost to blue line, or brown line in Duro's case. And Mara had lost all sense of Leia. Han held his position, waiting. He couldn't grab for orbit until he heard from...
Dad!
Jaina's voice called out of the console.
I'm out, and Jason's coming with Mom.
Han hit the main engines. The freighter soared out of concealment and swooped away from Gateway Dome. Glancing down, he counted 9 bristly landing ships, an infestation of gigantic seashells near the dome's north side.
Go, Droma! He ordered over the comm. All shuttles, vector south. We'll be right behind you.
Seconds later, the overloaded cargo ship blasted out of its haystack. Beyond the dome, one blocky hauler and a pair of YT-1300s clawed for space.
There, Captain Solo.
C-3PO pointed at the sensors. Far below, a lone figure waved something like a glimmering violet candle.
I see her.
He feathered the main engines and swooped down.
Oh, no,
C-3PO moaned.
Those must be coral skippers coming in at 4.
I see them, I see them.
Han set the Falcon to hover and drop the boarding ramp. To his satisfaction, a second figure followed Jaina, staggering out of the hillside tunnel entry. Then he saw Leia in Jason's arms and the blood staining their legs. Jason bent over the Falcon's narrow first aid bunk. Though the deck bucked and tilted, Jaina applied a pair of Sluisi Grav Press bandage cuffs to Leia's legs just above the knees, then connected them with the Falcon's medical data bank. That should hold her until we can find a Bacta tank. I don't know about her legs, though. Leia's eyes fluttered open.
Jaina?
She murmured.
Heard your voice. Thanks.
Jaina tucked a thermal blanket around Leia's shivering shoulders, then uncoiled a fluid drip and applied it to her bared arm. "Jason did the hard part," she said gruffly.
"No, what you did,"
Leia managed.
"Harder. Furious with me, but came back."
Jaina made a wry face, then bent to kiss her mother's cheek. "Lie still. We'll get you out of here."
"But, Duro, Basma Khan..."
"We're evacuating," Jason said. But he wondered what had happened to her other Nogri. If Basma Khan was alive on Duro, he pitied the Yuuzhan Vong. Leia's eyelids fell shut. Jason looked up at Jaina, worried.
"There's a sedative in that drip," Jaina explained. "Otherwise, she'd crawl to the quad guns and bleed to death."
In her voice, Jason heard heartfelt respect.
"Right," he said. "Then it's you and me for the guns."
"Take a quad," Jaina exclaimed, flinging herself away from the bunk. "I'll join Dad in the cockpit."
"Mara, Luke, Duro Defense Force, this is the Millennium Falcon escorting a big hauler. Last ship out of Gateway coming up at you."
Mara eyed her senses. Vectoring south, accelerating ponderously, came a big block of a hauler, a smaller freight ship, and three YT-1300s.
"Han, is Leia all right?"
Luke asked from his X-wing.
"She's hurt bad. The kids are taking care of her, but..."
Han's voice faded momentarily, then came back.
"Can't talk. These haulers could use a few more escorts, though."
"On our way." Mara snapped off the comm and studied her sensors. Whether by skill or by solo luck, Han had herded his charges onto the vector that was seeing the least action. An enemy gunship appeared ahead of them, though. Almost instantly, the expected Dubin Basil anomaly appeared on Mara's sensors. She fired a storm of short bursts into it, loading it as heavily as possible. Not far to starboard, Luke's X-Wing took a run at the gunship. His guns linked to fire dual bursts. Two from above, then two below, then a solid quad burst. The gunship swerved off course, ignoring the blocky transport to deal with its attackers. Mara pelted the Singularity, keeping its shields busy, decelerating to keep from being drawn in. As Luke set up for a second run, Mara spotted Anakin's X-Wing coming in behind him, but also a tetrahedral flight of Coral Skippers. Stars spun as Mara jinked her ship, evading plasma bursts, still concentrating her fire on that gunship. Sensors showed another Basil anomaly coming up toward her, projected by the Coral Skippers to devour her shields.
"Luke," she called softly, "Anakin, this could be trouble."
"I've got the ships, Uncle Luke,"
she heard. One X-Wing altered course. Even from this distance, she sensed something flowing strong through the Force as Anakin, without hesitating, reached down deep with the utter calm of a warrior twice his age. Luke's X-Wing bucked and spun, firing constantly. He took two skips before the other two realigned their molten projectile guns. From another vector, Luke's X-Wing dropped toward the gunship. She spotted the flare of a dual torp launch. The instant she knew the gunship couldn't swing its energy gullet into place and devour them, she broke off her attack, vectored high, and directed full power to her aft shields.
"Got him!"
Luke crowed. Jason squeezed the upper quad gun's firing control, and another Coral Skipper exploded into multicolored shards. The Falcon rocked back and forth, giving him a clear view of another coral shower, Jaina's work from the cockpit. He could hear his dad's and sister's voices, pilot and co-pilot. The Falcon had never flown so wildly and well.
"Anakin's got another one,"
Jaina announced.
"What's he up to, 11, 12?
Han called.
"Don't know,"
Jaina said.
"I'd better talk to Colonel Darklighter about that kid." "Hey,"
Han's voice rose.
"Luke, Mara, Anakin, you're the last Force in system. Get out while you can." "Right."
That was Uncle Luke.
"Break it off, Anakin. Good job."
"Count on Anakin to be the last human to get out of Duro space alive," Jason reflected, but without jealousy. He'd found the balance between the Force's inner power and outward might. By giving himself, obedient with no reservation, he became a walking, breathing, living sacrifice.
Maybe I caught that lightsaber after all, Uncle Luke.
Savang La's left ankle throbbed, but the priestess, Vecta, would no more have deadened that pain than cut off his unwounded foot without appropriate rituals. Savang had sacrificed body parts before, imitating his god's work in creating the universe. Step by painful step, he approached the deep pit in which the heathen abominations were burning and addressed the executor who stood nearby.
"Your penance here has ended, Nomanor," he said. "Now I require the name of the young Jedi who escaped our custody."
"His name is Jason Solo, War Master."
"That craven young coward proved worthy indeed. At the time of highest portents, he must be sacrificed to Yamyamka. Now, are the new slaves ready to transmit? Is the Vilip Choir in place?"
Nomanor dropped to one knee, visibly gloating, but his hands trembled. Plainly, he expected to receive his next promotion.
"I will call Vilip Mistress Sif."
Savang waited until Sif approached, leading a beast of burden that carried the largest Vilip they'd bred to date. For this message, the War Master would even use the abhorrent visual technology he found here, though only his new slaves would soil themselves by touching it. They were already defiled beyond cleansing. He assembled his victorious forces in a circle near the burning pit, where a savory aroma honored Yanyamka. Without activating the Vilip, he made a short speech to his on-site forces and slaves, declaring Nom-Anor's penance complete, and that now he would be sent elsewhere. The executor folded his arms across his chest. One cheek twitched, betraying his confusion.
"Give me the woman's foul weapon,"
Savang ordered. Nomanor did not dare disobey. He took the light cleaver from his belt and handed it over. Savang La handled it firmly, knowing how thoroughly he would have to cleanse himself afterwards. After several attempts, he managed to make light shoot from one end. False light, a red mockery of natural luminescence. Now Sif uncovered the giant Vilip and began stroking, using both arms. Then she signaled the slaves with their sending apparatus.
"Citizens of the New Republic," Savang La said. "We speak from the surface of Duro, a living planet that your forebears murdered, but which we and our new slaves will revive. We will content ourselves with Duro if you will help us make one final sacrifice. Give us your Jedi,"
he demanded, brandishing the light cleaver in front of him, pointing its blade at the dirt.
"All of them, without exception. Any species, any age, any stage of training. Hold them back, hide them, and you see how your worlds will be treated. But I will reward with special gifts the person who brings me the Jedi with whom I especially wish to speak."
He poured hate and pain into his voice. He closed both hands on the light cleaver and plunged it into the dirt. It sank to its pommel.
"Give me Jason Solo," he roared. "Alive, so that I may give him to the gods."
He nodded to Sif, who covered the Vilip, ending the transmission. Then he wrenched the foul weapon out of the dirt. The blade still glimmered, unsullied. Trembling with pain and anger, he flung it into the burning pit.
Other titles in the Star Wars series available on audio from Random House Audiobooks are The New Jedi Order Agents of Chaos 2, Jedi Eclipse. The New Jedi Order Agents of Chaos 1, Hero's Trial. The New Jedi Order, Vector Prime. Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Darktide, Onslaught. Darktide, Ruin. And Rogue Planet. Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Balance Point, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited. Copyright 2000, all rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2000, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House Audiobooks presentation.